Welcome to Atheists Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate you tuning in this morning. Today is Sunday, November 22nd, 2015. I'm your host, Stephanie Zavan, and my guest today is Kevin Sinopathy. During this live show, we welcome your phone calls to 952-946-6205 and your emails to radio@minnesotaatheists.org. Being concerned for our health is big business these days, and marketing that business relies on making us just as concerned. Unfortunately, much of that marketing involves spreading bad information, making us afraid of the things that will drive business, not the things that will threaten our health. When our world is made out of chemicals, making us indiscriminately afraid of chemicals does nothing but add to our stress. And unfortunately, stress is also bad for our health. This week's guest, science writer Kevin Sinopathy, is working to defeat this fear-based marketing through a number of initiatives. From the book she co-wrote with Mark Draco and Mark Alsip, The Fear Babe, Shattering Vannie Harry's Glass House, to using the tactics of the fear industry against them, she's working hard to replace sensationalism with good information. She's with us today to tell us about her work and why it is so important. Good morning, Kevin. Welcome to Atheists Talk.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So how did you become interested in fighting pseudoscience?
Well, I've always had an interest in science since I was a child. I grew up with a scientist as a dad, but I really started fighting pseudoscience when I had my daughter. My daughter's 4 and a half, and I now have since had a son. But becoming a parent really starts, people will start giving you well-meaning yet unsolicited advice on what to avoid, chemicals to avoid, foods to avoid in order to keep your kids safe and healthy. And I started really doubting whether any of this advice was credible.
And so you have been doing this for several years. You want to tell us a little bit about some of the places where you've been working on this? Because you've kind of written all over the place at this point.
I have. So I started at Grounded Parents, a skeptic sister site, a little over 2 years ago, and started writing about these issues from a parenting angle. And since then, I've also written at Slate and Forbes and Gawker. But I've also started a grassroots organization, co-founded a grassroots organization called March Against Myths, and it's a science activist organization, which might sound odd to some people, but there are so many groups that are against evidence-based information, like March Against Monsanto. It was a direct response to March Against Monsanto. So we thought it was about time to have some science activism.
All right. So you mentioned these groups, and a lot of these groups are actually grassroots, or at least somewhat grassroots. But at the heart of all of this, and I'll mention that I just saw you talk at Skepticon last weekend, and this is something you mentioned in your talk, is pseudoscience as a business. We tend to only see the grassroots, and we don't really see the business behind it. You want to talk a little bit about what people are selling us or trying to sell us?
Sure, right. So as you say, a lot of these anti-GMO, anti-vax sort of groups appear to be grassroots, but they're not. They're well-funded by the organic and natural food industries. If you just peel back one layer, they're not even, I mean, they're pretty transparent about it for the most part. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes it takes some digging. But there are groups like Just Label It, Organic Consumers Association, GMO Free USA. And if you look at who's funding them, it's the organic industry. And these industries, they don't have any interest in telling you the truth, because when they tell you the truth, the consumer will realize that their products are unnecessary and sometimes even harmful. And so what they need to do is scare people about things like the unnatural, about corporations and capitalism, and kind of spread fear of and distrust of science. And so, and that's purely financially motivated.
So particularly in your book, but well outside of that as well. You have directly taken on somebody who calls herself the Food Babe. You want to tell us a little bit about her and why people, not just you as well, other people are, but why people are spending so much attention on her?
Sure. So the Food Babe is the blogger name of a woman called Vani Hari. She is a self-proclaimed food activist and is a champion of helping people know what's really in their food. And the problem with Food Babe, she's very, very good at mobilizing a large following. She's popular. She's appeared on national television. She has a best-selling book. But she has put forth fallacious claims about everything from vaccines to GMOs to food additives, and has done it really well. And the reason why I have paid attention to her and why my co-authors of The Fear Babe have paid attention to her is because she is one of the most, if not arguably the most popular misinformation vectors of our time when it comes to health and food-related myths. So she makes a really effective framework to examine all of these very popular myths, and not only to do that, but to explore why they continue to proliferate in the face of mountains of evidence against them.
And to tie this back to the previous question, this is a business for her, is that correct?
It is. It really is. She sells. She'll scare or demonize certain additives or ingredients or food products, and then immediately offer an alternative that she sells through her affiliate partners.
So, tell me a little bit about the process of writing the book. This is not a small book, and it's pretty dense. You guys cover an awful lot. So how did you end up writing that and deciding what needed to go in there?
The book overall took close to a year to write and research and really put together. But as you mentioned, I have two other co-authors with their own expertises or their own fortes. Mark Alsip, he writes a blog called Bad Science Debunked, and he is really the ingredients guy. He'll explore which ingredients these people demonize, why they demonize them, and whether or not they're truly harmful. And then Mark Draco has a background in publishing. So the three of us got together, and we just wrote. We have thousands and thousands of messages on Facebook, actually. That was our primary mode of communication as we wrote this. And we just went back and forth and passed the draft around and had a lot of discussions about what we needed to include. And we were very satisfied with the outcome. You know, there's one long chapter in the book called Shards, and that refers to the shards of glass, because the book is called Shattering Vani Hari's Glass House. And in that, we explore one by one some of the most ubiquitous myths about food in this whole arena that Food Babe obviously has also promoted, everything from high fructose corn syrup to pasteurized milk to GMOs to microwaves. We go through everything. And then after that, we go through the psychology of why people continue to follow and believe charlatans like Vani Hari.
So let's take a couple of these demonized chemicals that you guys talk about during the shards. Let's start with a classic. How is it that aspartame came to be considered one of the demons of our modern diet?
Well, there's always the underlying idea that synthetic is worse or not good compared to natural, but there were a couple cases it's a continued problem of a disease called PKU, which is a genetically based disorder that people can be sensitive to and have huge problems when they consume this sweetener, and so it kind of became scary to everyone. But to anyone that's not diagnosed with this disorder, the sweetener is actually not only fine, but the bottom line is it's way better than consuming sugar calories. Of course, sweetened food should be consumed in moderation, but fear-mongering over a non-calorie sweetener is actually problematic because it's better to consume this rather than sugar, which contributes to obesity and diabetes and all kinds of problems that we would rather avoid.
And there are a few other things that have happened with aspartame and with plenty of other foods that are really kind of common to any other food. For example, I get migraines, and there was a big thing about aspartame causing migraines, but you know, I also get migraines when I eat popcorn, and nobody's really telling me that's bad. So,
oh, okay,
yeah,
I haven't heard the popcorn one.
I'm the only person I know. I'm also the only person I know who really probably has a problem with high fructose corn syrup. So,
oh, okay,
yeah, for the same reason, it's just corn. It's a problem. But we do need to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about a couple of these other demonized chemicals and some of the other things you touch on in the Fear Bait. So please stay with us through the break, and we will return to Atheists Talk with our guest Coven Sinopathy. I'm Stephanie Zavan, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly. Plus, our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Whether you believe in a God or not, the best way to deal with the problem of the unknown is to carry insurance. Hi, I'm Georgia Hancock Soy, and I'm your friendly, all-knowing local farmer's insurance agent. I can't help you with the afterlife, but I can help you prepare for what happens after an accident. Whether it's homeowners, renters, car, business, recreational, or life insurance, I can help you with the risk of the unknown. Contact me at 651-491-5181.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is Atheists Talk, and I'm your host, Stephanie Savan. This is a live show, and we welcome questions at 952-946-6205 or emailed to radio at minnesotaatheists.org. Atheists Talk is an unusual show. Very few places in the U.S. can someone randomly turn on commercial radio and hear a bunch of atheists talking about topics that interest them. Increasing our visibility this way does have costs, however, and we need your help. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation to our radio fund, please visit minnesotaatheists.org. Today's guest is Kevin Sinopathy. Welcome back, Kevin.
Hi.
So we were talking about demonized chemicals and your book, The Fear Babe. Let's hit another classic before we move on. Tell me a little bit about MSG. What really is it, and why are we afraid of it? Should we be afraid of it?
We were talking about headaches before the break, and that's a common kind of misconception about MSG, is that it gives people headaches, that it causes all kinds of side effects. But it's pretty much a salt, right? Like regular table salt, you don't want to consume too much of it. Although there was a long-term kind of campaign against it. Even now, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, people will try to avoid it. Vani Hari has said about MSG is that she has said, quote, "It's an ingredient that literally excites your brain cells to death." It is a naturally occurring compound that our bodies produce every day naturally. Natural News, a very kind of commonly cited source, which again is run by someone in this natural food industry, describes it as something that is usually used by big food companies, which they like to demonize, like Kraft. But it's, again, it's found widely in nature, present not only in our bodies, but naturally in a lot of fruits and vegetables. There really isn't any convincing evidence that MSG is addictive or causes health problems that salt doesn't cause.
All right, so you're talking about things that occur in nature. Some of those get demonized too, obviously. They don't necessarily stay that way because it's probably hard to sell a book on something that everybody already thinks is bad for them. But let's talk a little bit about gluten, because this is kind of a complicated subject, and it's something that I've seen both people who support the natural foods industry and skeptics get wrong in various ways. What's going on with gluten?
Gluten is a protein that occurs in wheat and other specific foods, and I'll come back to an interesting potential of genetic modification technology is the possibility for a gluten-free wheat. But It's kind of a fad if you haven't noticed in the grocery stores, the aisles full of gluten-free products. Now when people go gluten-free, they say they lose weight, they feel better, which is probably very true when it comes to the weight loss and feeling better, because people who cut out gluten tend to cut out breads, pastas,
simple starches,
cookies, and bakery items, which of course are going to contribute to caloric intake. But there's this idea that gluten is fattening and that it causes health problems. But really, outside of people who suffer from celiac disease, which is an actual people have problems digesting the gluten, there isn't any evidence to show that there is gluten sensitivity outside of celiac disease. But again, once it kind of enters pop culture, it's very hard to get rid of these misconceptions.
Well, and with gluten, we have an additional complication in that some people do seem to really have some problems with wheat, but not necessarily with the gluten.
Right. I mean, there are other components to wheat that that can cause sensitivities. FODMAPs is the big one, and but because it's hard to separate these from items containing gluten itself, people believe that they have gluten sensitivity.
All right, so let's move on from specific chemicals. One of the topics that I appreciate you tackling in the book, because it's kind of hard, is this idea that doctors, and all doctors, are always a good thing, people well-educated about health. How true is that?
I think overall we should trust doctors and we should trust scientists. The book goes into kind of why we shouldn't always trust people who are MDs and scientists, because a lot of times there's this appeal to authority that happens. You know, there are quack doctors out there, not only in pop culture like Dr. Oz or Dr. Hyman, but also, you know, just your local physician. So if a doctor advises something and you doubt it, sure, get a second opinion. But, you know, a good example, again, is vaccines. I mean, in most places in the United States, you can find a practice where a doctor will do an alternative schedule or even sign off on not vaccinating a child, depending on the local laws. So again, it's kind of tricky these days to kind of really be able to determine whether a doctor's advice is credible or not. But I don't want to promote the misconception that doctors shouldn't be trusted overall. For the most part, doctors are great. We should trust them and work with them on what works best for us and our families.
All this stuff sounds so hard. You have to trust and think and all at the same time, which is exactly
trust,
the thing that we're dealing
level,
with.
Trust is... Lack of trust is a problem. You know, people, that kind of is what ignites conspiracy theories, is when people are so distrusting that they simply start believing the alternative to the mainstream, which then becomes another problem. It's a blind trust of the alternative.
So we've got less than a minute. You want to give a quick pitch for vaccines, because I don't think it needs much more than a quick one at this point, but we should do that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, as a mom, again, my kids are older, but when they were babies, they were too young to be vaccinated for certain diseases, and if they were to have gotten sick, like whooping cough, because of someone who hadn't vaccinated their older child, I would have been furious. So vaccinate your kids, because moms, pro-vaccine moms, will come after you if something happens to their child.
This is a unique pitch for our show. I like it. All right. Please stay with us through the break, and we will return to Atheist's Talk with our guest, Kevin Sinopathy. This is Stephanie Zavan, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Tune in to The Informed Investor every Sunday at 1 p.m. It's the financial radio program hosted by me, Jonathan Pine. As a licensed financial advisor, it's my goal to give you a better understanding of the financial world around you, your portfolio, and your investments. I look forward to spending Sunday afternoons with you at 1 p.m. That's The Informed Investor with Jonathan Pine on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota. See you this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Whether you believe in a God or not, the best way to deal with the problem of the unknown is to carry insurance. Hi, I'm Georgia Hancock Soy, and I'm your friendly, all-knowing local farmer's insurance agent. I can't help you with the afterlife, but I can help you prepare for what happens after an accident. Whether it's homeowners, renters, car, business, recreational, or life insurance, I can help you with the risk of the unknown. Contact me at 651-491-5181.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With the latest look at your AM 950 forecast, I'm Peter Lee. Mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of snow. Highs in the lower 30s, south winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight not as cold, mostly cloudy in the evening, then clearing. Near steady temperatures in the lower 30s, and a partly cloudy Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Situated by Moore Lake on Highway 65, Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is one of the most beautiful destination fine dining restaurants in the Twin Cities. A unique and contemporary spin on continental cuisine. 6161 Highway 65 Northeast. More information can be found at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to Atheists Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Stephanie Zavan. If you have a question or comment on today's show, please call us at 952-946-6205 or email to radio at minnesotaatheists.org. Kevin Sinopathy is talking to us today about fighting the big business of pseudoscience. So we've just been talking about your book, but let's talk a little bit about the March Against Myths. You mentioned earlier that this is a response to the March Against Monsanto. Give us a little background on that. What is the March Against Monsanto?
The March Against Monsanto has been around for about 5 years. And, again, it was started by a mom. I mean, moms are very well mobilized in the pseudoscience movement and the business of pseudoscience. But it started out as an anti-GMO march, and I'll talk a little bit about later about why I dislike the term GMO and why it doesn't make sense. But it started out as an anti-GMO movement and then ballooned from there into an anti-corporate movement, which is funny because the anti-GMO movement itself at the very top of it is the organic industry. But it grew then into almost a conspiracy theory movement. I mean, when you're at these marches and you see the people's signs, you'll see everything from chemtrails to anti-vax to even signs that say things like the end is coming, the end is near. And so it grew quite a bit. I mean, there's chapters all over the world. Their Facebook presence is, I think, close to 1 million, and they have a lot of followers, and their memes range, again, from anti-GMO to chemtrails to anti-vax, and they'll even do things like appropriate figures ranging from Rosa Parks to Martin Luther King, and use their quotes as part of their movement, and it almost becomes very offensive. So my two co-founders and I, Dr. Carl Haravan-Mogul, who also co-founded an organization called Biology Fortified, And then my friend David Sutherland, who's also a vegan animal rights activist, we initially started talking about the three of us just going to one of these marches and counter-protesting and just really kind of observing, because I was curious. I had never been to one. But instead, we founded this movement, and our very first international event was last May on the same day as the annual March Against Monsanto, and we had people all over the United States and also Australia, Canada, and the Netherlands show up to these marches with signs, you know, science-based signs and facts with things like, you know, we had signs like GMO saved the Hawaiian papaya, and farmers have never been sued for cross-pollination. And we went and we marched and we made a bit of a splash. And we've had a couple other small events in between, and then we'll have our big international event again in May of 2016.
And if people want to get involved with that, on our site for the show, there is a link to March Against Myths, where you can find more information. So let's tackle this head on before we keep talking about this. Are there problems with Monsanto?
I believe that any large corporation has problems, right? Have done things that people would consider to be not right. But some of the biggest problems attributed to Monsanto simply haven't happened. Two of the big ones is that they have caused a spike in farmer suicides in India, and the other one is that they sue farmers for cross-pollination, and both of these things simply aren't true.
And so we are talking, and you mentioned this with the signs about chemtrails and the end is near. We really are talking about conspiracy theory being treated as fact rather than addressing the actual problems that we run into with agribusiness as a whole.
Right. I mean, in terms of agriculture and agribusiness as a bigger picture, sure, there are problems, but people look for a scapegoat, something to blame for some of these problems, and that ends up, especially these days, being quote-unquote GMOs, genetically modified organisms, and Monsanto has become a symbol for these diverse technologies, which is funny because they're definitely not the only company or business who do produce these products.
So let's talk a little bit about GMOs in general. When we say something is a GMO, what do we mean?
Okay, so GMO stands for genetically modified organism, and when people say that these days, whether it be the media or a friend who may not even fully know what they're talking about, they mean an organism produced using modern molecular genetic engineering techniques. So there are only 8 quote unquote GMOs on the market in the United States right now, soon to be 10. And so people believe that if they go to the grocery store and they're looking through their produce section, that because GMOs aren't labeled, they're not sure which items are and aren't GMOs. They look at strawberries, tomatoes, carrots, and wonder if these items are GMO. Well, the fact is there aren't any tomatoes, carrots, strawberries, grapes, blueberries. I could keep going on the market that were bred using modern molecular genetic engineering techniques. There aren't any GMO varieties on the market. You're most likely to find right now GMOs in packaged foods, also canola oil. Soon we will have potatoes and apples that were created using these techniques. But the reason I say that GMO is an arbitrary, unscientific term that I don't like is that the vast majority of the food we eat was created or bred using unnatural, man-made breeding techniques. And people will say, oh, you know, that's not the same. Selective breeding isn't unnatural like GMOs. But really, there are other techniques aside from molecular genetic engineering that people would consider very unnatural. One example that I like to give is radiation mutagenesis. There are many popular items, including certain mints and grapefruits and wheat, that were created essentially by bombarding the plant with radiation with the full intent of inducing genetic mutations. I often compare this to rolling the dice. I mean, most of the time when you roll the dice, you're not going to get a lucky roll, but every now and then you get a lucky roll, which is the hope when this technique is used. Most of the time, nothing happens. Sometimes it's a harmful effect and that's discarded, but when something good happens, then that variety is then commercialized and sold. And you know, most people would consider this very unnatural, yet the wheat produced with this technique can be sold as organic, right? There is no again, GMO wheat on the market. That's another common misconception, that there's GMO wheat, and that GMO wheat is causing celiac disease and problems with gluten, which isn't the case. So again, this radiation mutagenesis is just one technique of several that aren't considered GMO, but I would consider them very much genetically modified.
So let's talk a little bit about the push to label GMOs. Obviously, you've already explained why labeling some things as GMOs and not others would be pretty arbitrary. And I think if people understood more about how, you know, most people who are going to flinch at the term GMO are probably also going to flinch at the term radiation, for example.
Right.
But can you talk a little bit about the rationale for labeling such as it is, and the things that people say that labeling will accomplish, and whether it will actually do any of that?
Right. So when people say they want GMO labeling, I don't blame them, because most people who want GMO labeling believe that they simply have a quote right to know what's in their food, the right to make their own decision, which sounds very compelling, right? But when you move up to the very top of this labeling movement, it again comes from the organic industry. I mean, that it's demonstrable that it comes from the organic industry, and you'll hear some of these bigwigs say that the push for GMO labeling, if it were ever to become mandatory, would be the first step in eliminating this technology. So when we plant the idea of a right to know, it does sound very sinister to prevent people or keep people from having that right. It's very clever framing. It's semantics, but it's done very well. And so people believe that, you know, if you just talk to your neighbor or your friend or your Facebook friend about what GMO labeling would accomplish, if you really start asking questions and digging, most people don't really know. They just keep going back to this, it's my right to know as a consumer. And I'm all about food labeling transparency when it is relevant. You know, we need to know the content of sodium and fat and sugar in our food in order to consume those in moderation. We need to know fiber and vitamins and minerals to make sure that we get enough for ourselves and our families in our diets, and we need to know things that might harm us too, such as allergens, because allergic reactions can be very harmful and even fatal for people with certain conditions. But labeling something as a GMO, it simply won't accomplish anything. In fact, I think it's a little bit insulting. It would be insulting to my intelligence to go to the store and see something labeled as a GMO, because I kind of compare it to if you went to the store and there were opaque packages of, say, broccoli, lettuce, and cauliflower, and you just labeled it vegetable, it wouldn't make sense.
All right. And this actually has a little bit of a parallel in terms of labeling things organic a few years ago, until we actually developed a government standard for what could be labeled organic. Labeling it contained no information. It was just the word, right?
Right. I mean, there are specific regulatory meanings behind the USDA
now,
organic
right.
label. It means it was grown in a certain way, grown without certain chemicals. And, I mean, that brings me to another misconception. One of the
Which
most common
I'm
misconceptions.
I'm going to have to ask you to hold because we do need more commercials. So this is
we'll
how we pay for this.
It.
All right. Please stay with us through the break. And we will return to Atheists Talk with our guest, Kevin Sinopathy. I'm Stephanie Zavan, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And we're actually not getting commercials there, so I'm going to see what the engineer is doing. In the meantime, make your point about organics.
Right. I was saying that one of the most common misconceptions about organic food or organic produce is that it's grown without pesticides. That's one of the main reasons that people choose organic is because it's grown without pesticides, and also that they believe that it's natural in the way that nature intended. You know, atheists might say it's the way nature intended. I've heard people say it's the way God intended. But, of course, that's not the case. And organic farming uses pesticides, it uses herbicides, it uses insecticides. I mean, without them, the farming wouldn't be successful. It just, the only difference is the type of pesticide and chemical used has to be naturally derived. But whether or not a pesticide is naturally derived doesn't mean that it's not toxic. You know, by definition, pesticides are toxic, and they are used in organic farming.
All right. So let's touch on the mom thing. You've brought this up quite a bit. Obviously, mom means something in terms of who we're listening to. Why is that?
Right. So whether or not it should mean something in terms of credibility or expertise, it doesn't necessarily mean anything at all. There is, for whatever reason, number of reasons, a certain believability that's endowed upon a person, especially a mom, who has a child, because then, I mean, the assumption is that a mom loves her child more than anything, and therefore she should be believed. And so when you look at the anti-GMO movement again, or even the anti-vax movement, moms are kind of held up on these pedestals as kind of warriors for protecting their offspring and their brood. And it becomes a very, very powerful idea that you don't mess with a mom, right? But then again, when you give birth or whatever other way that you might become a parent, it doesn't automatically endow you with a PhD, right?
All right.
Unless you're already an expert in something, motherhood in itself shouldn't and doesn't give anybody more, you know, magical
right.
knowledge.
And we are finally going to commercial, so we'll talk about that just a little bit more when we get back. Thanks, everybody.
Make Sunday afternoons your go-to place to hear about progressive issues from a woman's perspective. This Sunday, hear the compelling story of a woman who arrived in Minnesota as a refugee and is now the executive director of the largest coalition of women's organizations in the state, Cabo Yang. Listen to A Woman's Place, Sundays from 2 to 3 p.m., where conversation ignites change. And remember, you can always pick up our podcast at am950radio.com.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France, Medina.
Whether you believe in a God or not, the best way to deal with the problem of the unknown is to carry insurance. Hi, I'm Georgia Hancock Soy, and I'm your friendly, all-knowing local farmer's insurance agent. I can't help you with the afterlife, but I can help you prepare for what happens after an accident. Whether it's homeowners, renters, car, business, recreational, or life insurance, I can help you with the risk of the unknown. Contact me at 651-491-5181.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words, click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheists Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Stephanie Zavan. This Thursday, Minnesota Atheists are participating in a 5K walk to benefit local food shelves as part of the Walk to End Hunger. Don't worry, it's all comfortably indoors. If you'd like to participate or sponsor our team, check out the event page on the Minnesota Atheists group at meetup.com. Atheists Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists, the Humanists of Minnesota, Farmers Insurance Agent Georgia Hancock Tsoi, and Cucumbers Restaurant. If you'd like to advertise on this program, please contact us at radio@minnesotaatheists.org. Music for our show is composed by member Brent Michael Davids. And now back to Kevin Sinopathy. So we have just a very few minutes left after shifting that commercial. Tell me about the Science Mom documentary. How are you guys addressing this unusual amount of influence that moms have in this discussion?
Right. So the Science Moms documentary was inspired by a letter and a campaign started by myself and a group of other moms who also happen to be scientists and farmers and writers with a pretty good level of knowledge about these issues. And it all started when celebrities like Gwyneth Paltrow, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Sarah Gilbert, Jillian Michaels, and others had come out against GMOs as moms, as a way of saying that as moms, they have a right to know what's in their food and a right to avoid GMOs. And so we wrote this letter, which got quite a bit of traction, explaining why this was wrong and why we hope that they wouldn't use their celebrity to spread misinformation. And so the Science Moms documentary really seeks to explore why moms like me like to base our parenting decision in evidence and in science rather than in fear. This documentary is being put together by Natalie and Brian Newell, who read our letter, and they decided to make a documentary about it, and they're going to be crowdfunding it soon. So keep an eye out for that, please, if you would like to contribute.
All right. And again, the link to keep an eye on that is on the page for our show today. We do have a couple of listener questions. Let's see if we can get those in. Mark asks, your guest bemoans that people are suspicious of all kinds of foods because they don't know what has GMO and ingredients and what doesn't. So would she logically support GMO labeling on all foods so people know what they're talking about?
I'm assuming that he means that we should label the breeding method of all foods. If that's what he means, if people want to do that and label how every single ingredient of every single food was bred, I guess that would be more logical than just labeling things arbitrary as GMO or non-GMO, arbitrarily. But I wouldn't support it mainly because the labeling the breeding method of every single component of a food other than maybe a whole piece of produce would be very, very difficult and costly. So my answer to that would be no, if that's what he meant. And if that's not what you meant, Mark, feel free to message me on Facebook and we could talk about it some more.
All right. And a question from Paul in Robbinsdale. This is two parts. I think we're just going to get to one. So let's go with the aspartame. I've heard the main reason aspartame is bad for my health is that it toxifies the liver. Instead of the liver being able to metabolize fat and sugar properly, it's busy with the chemical aspartame. This is the cause of weight gain associated with consuming aspartame. And we have just a minute, but you want to hit that up?
That is a popular misconception, but that is not supported by any evidence. Again, I would encourage the use of aspartame in instead of sugar, especially if you are into drinking soda or having sweetened coffee. Soda especially is a big one. I mean, it causes a lot of weight gain. People drinking sugar sweetened or corn syrup sweetened soda. I personally drink diet soda, and again, this is an anecdote, and we aren't huge on anecdotes. We critical thinkers, but again, it's a common misconception.
All right, and that is the end of our show. Since Kevin is a freelance writer, I recommend everybody who wants to follow her work to check out her Facebook author page. Again, that link is on the show notes for our site today. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Yes, thanks for having me. This was fun.
And I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in to Atheists Talk. This is Stephanie Zvan, your host. Join us again next Sunday when we'll speak with philosopher David Kyle Johnson about his book, The Myths That Stole Christmas. I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and I hope that you appreciate the show. This show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and our donors. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at minnesotaatheists.org. This has been Atheists Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Podcasts for the show will be on our radio page later today. Have a nice Sunday.